Morning.
Morning.
Happy Thanksgiving one more time. Looks like a number of us are still giving thanks out there this week, somewhere else with loved ones, I expect. If you're visiting with us, my name is Farrah Griggs. I'm visiting with you. And this morning, we're going to start Advent. And the scripture this morning comes from Luke 3. You have your Bibles, I want you to turn there and read with me. We'll read verses 1 through 6. Not the most typical set of verses to start with, but we'll explore that as we go along. John 3, starting with verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John of Zechariah in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled. And every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And these are the words of God. May he add his blessing to this partial reading of his holy word. Let's pray together. Good morning, Father. Thank you for being with us this morning. May we feel your fullness and your presence beside us, around us, surrounding us in this place of worship. May we reach out and touch you as you touch us back. And may we hear your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning's lesson comes, the title comes straight from the scripture, Preparing the Way of the Lord. It's Advent season. A season of the liturgical year observed as a time of expectant waiting and preparation for both the celebration of the nativity of Christ at Christmas and the return of Christ at the second coming. And so you would expect the message probably having to do with all matters Christmas. And yet today I feel compelled to talk about Jesus in a slightly different context. Today we're going to fast forward to the moment just before the appearance of this 30-year-old son of a carpenter from Nazareth. The beauty and sweetness of Bethlehem, at least temporarily, is in the rearview mirror as Jesus is about to emerge on the scene as history's greatest figure. And when he does, things change. And they change forever. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our Lord. This is part of a passage from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, hundreds and hundreds of years before the event where the great prophet begins his prediction of the future. Unlike most of the prophets of the Old Testament, which tell of God's message in their contemporary situation, the latter part of Isaiah focuses on the future. Isaiah looks down the long road to come. He sees God upholding his own cause in a world-transforming display of his glory. Isaiah aims his vision at such an event, the time when the way of the Lord will be fully revealed, when the King will come. John the Baptist, he's a lot like Isaiah. You ever read about Isaiah? Both of them look like they came out of the woods. Not a pretty sight. Isaiah wasn't either. The Old Testament prophet once went pretty much naked and barefoot for 3 years and pulled out his hair to make his point. Now, that's commitment. And the new prophet, John, called the baptizer, he wears a garment made of camel's hair. You ever touched a camel? This is not the kind of surface you want next to your skin. It's rough to the touch, and he eats bugs for his nourishment. John the Baptist are not your average seminary products. And John is like Isaiah in more ways than one. Like Isaiah, he too is setting the table for another. Both are prophets that look to the future, heralding the coming of the real thing. So in Luke 3, John the Baptist is the new prophet, and he quotes Isaiah, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." Luke, the writer of this passage, uses more reference here to people and kings than in any other place in his writings. He does so because he wants everyone to see the significance, to mark the date. You can tell that as he opens the passage, and I was stumbling all over those words about tetrarchs. He's marking that point in history so we can find it again. Jesus is coming not just for the people of Israel, but for everyone. The passage read this morning in Isaiah referred to the opportunity for the Gentiles way back over 1,500 years ago, when all we heard about was God's people, and yet Isaiah mentions us, the others, the Gentiles. And you might expect Luke, the Gentile, to take that long view that Jesus came not just for the Jews, but for all who would believe. Paul calls it the Israel of God, those who believe. Luke is connecting the old with the new, but John's prophecy is more like Isaiah's. John is the herald, the announcer, not just a prophet. No matter who your king is, the real king is about to be introduced. And that is the job of John the Baptist. He is to help smooth the way, prepare it for the Son of God. John's call has worldwide significance, for the Savior is coming for all the people. I love this phrase. Luke tells us that the word of God came to John. Just stop and think about that phrase. The word of God, that revelation came to John. The same words are used to describe God speaking to Samuel, to Jeremiah, to Ezekiel, to Jonah, to Haggai, to Zechariah, to Malachi, and others. The word of God came to. In each case, God was speaking to his servant, giving him not just a vision, but also a task. You hear the words of God, you're supposed to do something with that. It's like a commission. The words introduce a special revelation, a revelation received to take to the people. In that same tradition, John the Baptist is sent as God's prophet, and his proclamation is, are you listening? The baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So how do you prepare the way of the Lord? Well, John seems to say that we need to level the field. John says to make the path straight. Fill every valley. Lower the mountains and the hills. Straighten out the crooked. Make the rough places level. I think about that in practical terms. I like to ride a bicycle for exercise and for recreation. But I like it so much better when the terrain is smooth and flat. I can go farther when the resistance is small. Sin and I back a lot at the beach because it's level there and we don't have to work so hard. These days there are bike paths designed for cyclists to move more easily in traffic. It's as though the valleys have been filled and the mountains leveled. It makes the path straighter. I can see what John the Baptist was getting at. He wanted the path for the coming Savior to be clearly marked, easy to navigate. He wanted to prepare the way. When you want cyclists to be able to navigate safely with motorists, you create a bike path. You set aside space where cyclists can ride safely. But you know, this message really is not about cyclists. It's about preparation. What do you do when your objective is not just a safe place for a few, but a path? A path for the Savior of mankind. It's going to take a bigger path for that job. How do you prepare for the way of the Lord? Prophets like John cry from the wilderness. That is, they're not the most visible, nor do they have the most credibility. They're prophets. There's one thing that most of the prophets in the Bible have in common is that they're not very popular. They come talking about wrongdoing and they call for us to turn away. And we would just as soon they didn't, for we're all too comfortable in our lives. This is not the way to win friends and influence people. You want to be popular? Don't become a prophet. The fact that they're right is just incidental information. If they don't come preaching the message we want to hear, then very often we tune them out. They're marginalized from the start. Why do you think John was in the wilderness? They didn't want him downtown. In these days of internet church, we can tune out the message with a click on our devices. I just love that word. I went, 60 some years before I ever had a device. Now everybody's got one, or two, or five. And John didn't have the internet. He was broadcasting from the wilderness. It is as though his message was not just unusual or unpopular, it was also remote. John was indeed speaking from the wilderness in more ways than one. John the Baptist is telling the people that the real king is coming. He says that all flesh, here's one of those sentences now, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John does not promise salvation for all. Rather, he heralds it will be in sight for all to see. John points to the revelation of the Messiah, the physical manifestation of the Son of God. He goes on to say that the way must be prepared for him. The leveling to which he refers is nothing less than the removal of the sin of the people. Now that's getting much more difficult, isn't it? It's much more difficult to get salvation than it is to see salvation. The prophets talk in metaphors to tell us what needs to be done. How do you prepare the way of the Lord? Straighten the path, fill the low places, flatten the high places, straighten the crooked, make what is rough become level. Oh, okay. It sounds like the prophets are in the grading business. And in a sense, they are. That's why John talks in terms of mountains and valleys. That's why he uses such big terms to describe the grading project, because sin is everywhere. It's as big as the mountains and as deep as the valleys. And if we want God to be able to come to us, there's something we're going to have to do. We must be baptized in our repentance, says John, if our sins are to be forgiven. And that's how we prepare the way of the Lord. It's not a literal baptism, it's a figure of speech. We must change, be washed of that which impedes us, be immersed in that which relieves us to meet our Savior. What do we do to prepare for a royal visitor, a head of state? We make preparations of all kinds, from transportation to food and lodging and venues from which to speak and meet. We pull out all the stops to be sure we're ready to receive someone of so much importance in our midst. You know what else we do? We provide lots of security. We canvass the areas where our special guests will be, and we clear those areas of any obstructions or anticipated dangers. And that's what John was trying to do. And the crowds at the Jordan respond. They ask, what then shall we do? And John answers, share. Share your excess. Share your food. He tells those in power to be fair, to not take advantage, to be content with what they have and make. It's another way of saying to make peace with your neighbor. The ancients did the same for their kings and emperors. In the days of Isaiah, when a king proposed to tour a part of his empire, he sent a courier in advance to tell the people to prepare the roads. In Luke's gospel, John acts as that courier for Christ. John knows he's been called to make way. And that's exactly what he's trying to do. In his zest for the job, he thinks back to the visionary words of Isaiah, and he attempts to remove the immovable. Even though he knows that sin has pervaded our lives, he appeals to us to wipe ourselves clean, not only to ask forgiveness, but to repent, to turn away. That's a big ask. The hills to be leveled, the paths to be made straight, are a metaphor for the rough places, defenses and walls of self-protection which we erect in our lives. We can barely see God, much less be with him, until we turn away from our own idols. And when we do, the result of that is salvation. How do you prepare the way of the Lord? Break down the walls. Are there financial barriers? Break them down. Are there emotional walls? Strip them bare. Tear down the fences. Make peace, not with just your neighbor, but with yourself. John the Baptist was called upon to tell the people, and through that testimony, God calls upon us to prepare our hearts, to prepare our lives. William Barclay says it this way: the King is coming. Mend not your roads, but your lives. John the Baptist tells us that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Of that we can rest assured. But John does not promise us all that we shall receive salvation. Neither does God. For that, we must prepare the way. John is a herald, a prophet. He warns us to get ready, to prepare. He tells us the King is coming. Where will you be when he comes? You know, there's two ways, I think, that Christ comes to us. There's more than two. Two I'm going to accent today. We may see Christ coming, literally. He may show up tomorrow or this afternoon. He may cancel the Super Bowl because he's got a bigger venue. We don't know. But we do know this: if we don't live to see Christ, Christ is alive, and when we die this earthly death, we'll see him then, or miss him. It is inevitable, and it is coming. And where will you be when that time comes to you? Are you prepared? If you aren't, there are things you need to do. You have to ask for forgiveness, and if you're like me, you better get that on your tongue because you're going to be doing it more than once. You have to turn away from your selfishness and your sin. That's the way to the peace you're looking for in your life. You have to turn around and walk from it. It doesn't take money or job security or disability insurance. It takes turning away from the shallowness of our existence and turning toward the light. That's how you prepare your way to the Lord. Don't wait. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. I just lost my sermon. There it is. Make straight your path. More than perhaps any other time of the year, the season of Advent reminds us to prepare. It's Advent, the time of arrival. We celebrate the manger. We rejoice at the news of Emmanuel. I love that word. That probably is one of the two or three most fascinating words that I came from seminary with, that triconsonantal word, sentence, all in the same, in Hebrew that translates God with us. We sing with the shepherds and the heavenly hosts, but much, much more. It's a time that we must prepare. The very last words of the scriptures in Revelation read the announcement. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. He's coming. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, help us to feel your presence. Help us to feel it strongly. Help us to understand that it can be permanent, but it is fleeting. If we turn away from our sin, we find you. And if we turn away from you, we find sin. Come to us, Lord, and help us find you in the coming. In your precious name, we pray these things. Amen.
We stand.